It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Success Happens. And I am excited, as I always am, to do our show. It's, you know, it's always a great conversation to talk about causing success, having caused success, even better conversation, because I meet interesting, fascinating people. And sometimes I meet people who I have more in common with than they even realize. And, you know, we get to talk about success, but we also get to talk about, you know, what it takes to become successful. And, you know, when I work with politicians, I really view them as leaders. I mean, they've become engaged in government because we put them there, and they have an opportunity to represent us and hear our voices and hear our concerns and also be us in Annapolis, if they're a local state official. And so I have the pleasure today of having Delegate Kathy Afzali with me. Welcome to Success Happens.
Thank you for having me, Jen.
It's great to have you. And, you know, when we talk about, I'm actually one of your constituents. So I live in 4A. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've gotten to know many of the different leaders here in the political community, both Democrats and Republicans. And frankly, I love them all. And sometimes I don't necessarily, you know, hang out or we're not friends. But you got to respect somebody who runs for political office. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. And so thank you, first of all, for putting yourself forward as a leader in the community and running for office to represent our voices, our concerns, our successes and our dreams.
Well, first of all, again, thank you for having me. And what most people don't know about me is before the politician label was placed on me, I had quite the private sector life prior to that. I've only been elected since 2010. So, and I won't tell you exactly how old I am, but I just had a big one. I just had a big one.
Well, congratulations
thank
and
you.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. There was a big zero put at the bottom of it or at the end of it. But anyway, so I did have, you know, an extensive private sector mm-hmm. life before that. A lot of people don't know that about me.
I think that today we're interested in leaders in government having some sense of what we deal with every day.
Yeah.
Because really, the private sector is where life happens, you know.
Definitely.
And I think it's really important to bring that expertise and background to bear if you're going to represent us and our concerns and our dreams, right?
Well, it's interesting. I have a lot of young people come to me and say, how do I get elected? How do I run for office? And they'll be 21, 22 years old. And generally, I'll say to them, instead of being a poli-sci major, why don't you go out and open a business or work in a business or have a life outside of politics and then come back to politics when you're about 30 years old and you have a little more under your belt. So there's pro and con with everything. One of the challenges I had when I first got elected back in 2010 is I kind of jumped onto the scene. Really no one in the political world knew who I was, but I knew how to run a business and I knew how to meet people and I had some success at that. And I was kind of laughed at, like, who is this mom from Middletown? How could she be running for, you know, she's not a fifth generation Fredericktonian and she's never held office before. So how dare she run for office? But I kind of took what I knew from the private sector and how to get things done, and I applied that to running for office. And mainly, I just wanted to serve. And for those who know me, may have heard my story earlier in the week on the radio. I never really thought of going into public office until 9/11, which was a huge
a real turning point for a lot
of us. Lot of people. Mm-hmm. People got divorced, people got married, mm-hmm. People changed careers, people had a lot of changes in their lives.
I would have been living in Paris if 9/11 hadn't happened.
Interesting.
Probably wouldn't have met my husband.
Yeah.
It would have been a very different direction. I was headed to Paris to move there, actually. Mm-hmm. And then 9/11 happened. I said, I can't go to Paris. I have to be here.
Yeah.
It's just, I think we all got compelled to, you know, really hunker down, pull ourselves up from our bootstraps and come together as a nation.
I
agree with you. It was a real turning point.
It was a turning point. And that morning, my husband Randon, had just dropped my youngest off at preschool down in Frederick and came running in, threw the door open, and I was folding laundry. I was very happy to be the mommy. I was very happy to be running our business and just leading a very kind of low-profile life. And something happened that day, and I remember saying the prayer, if I live through this day, if my family survives this day, I hope that I have the opportunity to serve my country. Because I think that patriotism just exuded from everyone at that time, and we really did come together. And so I never really thought about it again. My husband and I ended up, and our business was doing well. We ended up building a house and moving out to Middletown. And then the second critical factor was the Barack Obama election. And that was kind of the real pivotal moment where I said, okay, I'm not standing on the sidelines. I need to jump in. So at the time, I ran for delegate. A lot of people didn't necessarily want me to run in. There were two incumbents at the time. And I was kind of the political joke, but I got elected.
Yeah, you laughed your way all the way into office, didn't you?
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I was having a great conversation. Some of you might know Rachel Mandel. She's a real higher up in FMH and great lady. And she delivered my oldest daughter. She was my women's doctor before she became the big important lady that she is. And we were having this interesting talk about how she and I are similar in our personalities and you know, how we're both just very bold. You know, we just kind of bust into a room and, you know, kind of state our mind. And I explained to her that...
And I'm a lot like that, so I get it. And yeah, I do know Dr. Mandel. She's a great
lady. She's a great lady. So, but what I've learned, I think, over the last 7 years is I've mellowed. And you realize sometimes you can't bust into a room, especially in politics. Sometimes you have to kind of bring people alongside of you and speak to them, look at them in the eye, and really understand their perspective and where they're coming from. And so I'm still the little bull, as some people call me, but I'm a kinder, gentler bull. Mm. And I think that I've learned a lot, and it's been very valuable. And that's how I think I've been successful in the private sector as well as being a legislator.
So let's talk about the private sector. Let's talk about your business. So what was the business that you and your husband were in?
Well, I probably need to – can I start from the beginning before I transition? So, again, some people don't know this about me, but I grew up in the 60s. Now I am aging myself. And back in those days, we didn't have girls' sports like we did. We didn't have Title IX or any of that. And we only had the kids in our neighborhood to play with. And everyone in my neighborhood was a boy. So I learned to play sports from a very young age. And back at that time, girls were supposed to be girls and boys were supposed to be boys. And my mother became a bit concerned that I was a tomboy. And so she put me in dancing lessons to girl me up. And about 15 years later, I was dancing on Broadway.
Very nice.
So I was a Broadway performer for many years. I did commercials. I did jingles, which, as a matter of fact, Bob Dacey was just playing my jingle, Vote Kathy Hay, on Election Day. I wrote it. My children and their friends performed it. So and that was the bread and butter back then is, you know, I did commercials. I was very famous as the tap dancing filet of fish for McDonald's. If I ever play those videos, it will be the end of my political career. So I definitely have to keep the lowdown on that. But so that, you know, and then what happened from there is another turning point in my life. I had moved out to Weehawken, New Jersey, and Weehawken, New Jersey was next door to Union City, New Jersey, which at that point had the highest Hispanic population in the country. And I saw all these kids on the street day and night, no apparent direction or getting into a lot of trouble. And I had started to befriend some of these kids and was fairly distressed that they weren't in school, they weren't studying, and they were just out all hours of the day and night. So I just kept thinking, what can I do? What can I do? So I did something. I started what was called the Children's Theater Project. And what I did is at one of the local churches there, which actually, I don't know if you know this, but Bob Menendez, now Senator Bob Menendez, was the mayor of Union City.
Okay.
And anyway, so I knew him back
now,
in the
what
day.
What year were you in New Jersey?
This was the 80s. So this was after I had done Cats. Cats was one of the big shows that I'd done. And so what I did is I brought Broadway performers to work with the children. So I think that's where I learned a lot about managing people. Because at any given time when we were in production, I had over 100 people that I was managing. And there was a lot to learn, certainly, going from that to that. And anyway, so meanwhile, fast forward, I met my husband. We moved around a bit and ended up, David got a job here in Maryland. And we had gotten an apartment down in Upper Marlboro, and I was still in Colorado. And that's when I was selling real estate and realizing that I was really good at it and I was doing very well. And David really wanted to move here. And I was like, I don't want to move. I love Colorado. And then he called me and he said, I found the place that you're going to love.
Aww.
It's called Frederick, Maryland. And I said, okay, honey, go get us a realtor. Let's just move there. So that's what we did. I took it sight unseen. We moved to Frederick, Maryland. We bought a house just west of town and I started having babies. And we opened our business. We have had a consulting firm.
What did you consult?
So my husband's original business was biotech and pharmaceutical. So basically we were services, supply chain, government, FDA, in order to conform with FDA rules. So we were doing well. And then I got this crazy idea that I was going to run for office. I don't know what happened. My husband, I don't know, he must have drugged the water out there in Middletown. I don't know. But anyway, so I just think it was this hard in me to serve.
So when you look at this leadership path, and by the way, what I want to share with people, because they're probably wondering, well, what does she have in common? So my background was theater.
Oh, really?
So I actually was a theater major at University of Maryland.
Wow.
I used to dance 3 hours a day. I was, you know, I should have gone to Broadway. Instead, I went to L.A.
Yeah.
So that's
– Well, I went to L.A. too.
Yeah, but – yeah.
And then I went to New York.
But if you want to do live, you got to be in New York. So anyway, I wish I'd done that. So
I knew you in L.A. Of course, you're younger, so you probably
well,
didn't know.
Maybe a little. Not as young as you think, maybe. But at any rate, different subject. We're not talking age.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea of creative leadership, you know, I really believe that the arts provides a creative thinking that sometimes is lacking in leadership because we get boxed in to a way that things always must be done because that's the way it's done and we don't go outside our box. And or as a friend of mine would say, get in your lane, Jen. You know, get in your lane. Well, I don't have a lane. So, you know, to me, I don't get that because if you're really looking at things from a solution-based leadership mentality, get it done, as you mentioned earlier. That creative thinking allows for you to look for solutions that are outside of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. And I think it's more important now than before, perhaps, because we are in such a conflicted kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you this. When you bring all of that to bear in your leadership, you're at the state of Maryland now. And I always say this. I want to say this, too. We think we're voting for somebody to represent our you know, area or 4A or whatever. But the truth is you're a conservative vote in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So you're representing conservatives or Republicans or a conservative thinking across the state because ultimately all those votes add up to hopefully winning, you know, if that's what you're up for, right? You want to win the battle and get the vote. You have to, you know, those conservative votes really matter. So I always caution people to think that, you know, you're only thinking about voting somebody in from your direct community. But the truth is, across the state, those voices and votes matter. That being said, how do you envision beginning to heal the divisiveness that is occurring? You know, it's happening here, I think, less so than many other areas, which I think is a kudos to our governor and his ability to maintain civility and order, which is very important in leadership. So how would you see us continuing to maintain that? Or in the case of Baltimore, which was a very unfortunate situation, how do we make sure it doesn't happen again?
So
it's a big question.
Well, it is, and I'll have to probably answer it in parts. I think, first of all, at the beginning you were saying that I represent conservatives. First of all, I represent the whole of District 4, which is really most of the county. So District 4 voted for me in overwhelming numbers. I mean, I got nearly 70% of the vote. So they voted for me because they believe that I hold the values and the sensibilities that, that they want to see in government.
So obviously Democrats and Republicans alike, because at 70%
Yeah.
it's not a party. It's
so
a,
definitely.
Yeah,
and you know, some people, they might vote for me because they might like me. They might vote for me because they like what I stand for. But a lot of people vote for me because they know that I get stuff done. And they know that I'm not an ideologue. And that's a point to make up also.
And we have, as a nation and as a society, become way too wrapped up in ideologue mentality.
Right, exactly.
We're going to have to take a quick break.
Okay.
You're listening to Success Happens. I have with me today Delegate Kathy Afzali. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today Delegate Kathy Afzali. And it's such a pleasure to have you with me and to really get to know you better. And to, you know, I always say we have more in common with people than we realize. And it's always fun if you just take the time to sit down and chit-chat. You'll be amazed at what you learn about people. And so I wanted to ask you about your leadership in Annapolis and some of the committees you sit on, because you said you're somebody who gets things done, and I love that, because I think we can talk about stuff till we're blue in the face, and then before you know it, session ends and it didn't get done. Mm-hmm. And we see that in the federal government, how frustrating it is to watch. So when we look at your leadership role, you are on the Ways and Means Committee. You are the ranking member now. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on your leadership there. You sit on the subcommittees, finance and education.
Yep.
Can't get more important than that, right?
Right. The money and the schools.
The money and the schools. Right. And by the way, how we pay for education, right? That's a big one.
Yeah.
And then you are also involved with the Joint Committee on Children, Youth and Families, which is lovely, given your background with dance and working with the kids and empowering them in New Jersey and that sort of thing. So, you know, you've kind of hit a lot of the, you know, sweet spots for me, because I love empowering people and the kids and things. What would you say is your favorite thing you do in Annapolis?
Oh, golly, there's a few favorite things. I love to work.
On what?
Every day is totally different, but we have committee hearings, we have meetings.
Do they ever get
tense?
No.
So
very
so,
congenial.
So here's what people don't understand about Annapolis. A lot of people think, oh, it's so partisan and everybody's fighting, and it's really not the case at all. It's very congenial. And, you know, you can't be a Republican and be down there more than 7 minutes without figuring out that if you can't be congenial, you are not going to get anything done. And so really, I decided from the beginning, I knew that I wasn't going to agree with everyone, but I knew that it wasn't going to be personal. And so we don't take it personally. You know, on my committee, I am the ranking member, so it's my job to get the governor's bills through the committee. And let me tell you, that's no easy task because, yeah, the Democrat leadership does not love Governor Hogan.
Well,
they want to take him down, and it's very hard.
But here's the problem with that thinking, and not mm-hmm. your thinking, but the idea of this is that just because somebody's the opposite side of the fence, you're going to take him down.
Right.
You see that with President Trump. Just because he's not on your team, you're going to make sure he loses. What kind of thinking is that? Because it impacts all of us. We all lose.
I agree.
So for success to happen in Annapolis, you have to get along with folks.
Exactly.
But explain – let's back up a second. What does the Ways and Means Committee do? Because I don't – I think people hear it and we really don't know what that means.
So the Ways and Means Committee is great for someone like me with a little ADD. It's got a very wide subject matter, so it's very hard for me to get bored. One time I went and visited the Environment and Transportation Committee, and they were talking about composting for about 3 hours.
Oh,
I
yawn.
I think I would have committed Harry Carey by then. So anyway, we talk about education. So we handle all the education legislation for the state. We do all things election law. So any changes to election law, that's us. We handle all the finances and the tax policy for the state. So any tax bill will come through our committee. And the last but certainly not least is gambling. All things gambling, whether it's the lottery, whether it's the casinos in the state. And so we
Because of the money? I mean,
the vast
amount of money involved?
There's a lot of money coming in from that. Thank goodness that's coming in. So I'm on the education subcommittee. And, we have some definite philosophical battles. And I fight the fight. And sometimes I'm like, wow, I'm the only one who's fighting this fight.
So does Common Core fall under your
Common Core subcommittee
or is it
somewhere? Common Core is really not a topic right now in Annapolis, because Common Core is about local curriculum. So Common Core now falls onto the state board. I think the feds actually said, do it if you want or don't do it. I think the feds passed a bill. So it's really up to the state whether they want to keep it or not. So Common Core at this point is the curriculum of the locals. So that the state isn't necessarily dealing with it because the locals do the curriculum. So in order to influence that, parents can do that. I mean, the locals can do that here for Common Core.
Yeah, it seems to me Common Core really dissipated in terms of it was a big thing, a couple years ago in that last election cycle. But as far as I can see, it doesn't feel like any difference was made. That's kind of how it lands for me. No difference was really made on Common Core.
Common Core was largely misunderstood. The problem with Common Core is anytime you have the federals interfering in local curriculum, that's where you have your problem. And that was the problem from Common Core.
Imposing on it.
So I think a lot of that has been dissipated to a certain extent. I think Governor Hogan has had a good handle in terms of the State Board of Education. The challenge we have now in the State Board of Education is that it was traditional that the governor of Maryland actually had more power than any other governor in the country. What's happening now, because the leadership in the opposition party are so nervous about Hogan, they're slowly but surely trying to take power away from him. So they've taken appointment power away from him on the state board in different areas that come through my committee. And yeah, I'm fighting the impact of that? The impact of that is that it gives more power to the legislature to pick and choose. And it's really it's really unfortunate that they feel so threatened that Governor Hogan is going to be so off the chart radical, which he's not. He's fairly even handed and middle of the road.
Well, he also has gotten great favorable ratings.
Exactly.
And so he has a lot of support across party lines. So
and that's,
you would think they would have gotten that message. But
no. But see, this is a way for them to attack him without it being obvious to the general public. Mm-hmm. So it's all very underhanded. It's behind the scenes. It's done through legislation, again, taking the ability away to appoint people to different boards and so forth.
Well, and I think that we are very blessed to have Governor Hogan leading us. And I think that we want to ensure he continues the evolution that he started. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that, it undermining leadership, whether it's in government or it's in a corporate environment, it's just nasty.
I know.
And so it doesn't work. And I think, hopefully you all will continue to bring that message forward to educate. Because I think at some point, we just need to educate voters about the real issues.
Yeah. And they don't know what's going on. As an example, that terrible transportation bill that passed two sessions ago. Basically what it did, and unfortunately the local Democrats in the delegation voted for it, and it basically took the power away from the governor and from the locals to set our transportation authority, and it gave it to bureaucrats in Annapolis. And what happened as a result? Our local county, Frederick County, lost hundreds of thousands of dollars as a result of that piece of legislation. And so people don't know. It's very subtle. Again, it was another way of taking power away from the governor. But, the people that voted for it, just carte blanche, we're going to vote for this because it hurts the governor, it ended up hurting Frederick County.
And all the Democrats in it.
Right. Now, but then they had to backpedal, and they did. And they repealed it, and there was all these, nips and tucks that they did, and basically it's back to where it was. But
so
it was
reversed that.
Well, we sort of reversed it.
Good.
It's pretty well reversed because it was humiliating for local Democrats as well as Democrats all over the state, because all of a sudden their locals were coming to them saying, "Wait a minute, what happened to our $20 million for XYZ project? We've lost it now." The problem with Democrats in Annapolis is they tend not to read the legislation. And they will, they'll do what the leadership tells them to do. And it's unfortunate.
Well, and we're going to take a quick break on that note. But I do want to say this, because we have Democrats listening. We have Republicans listening. We have mm-hmm. independents listening. God bless you all hanging out there flapping in the breeze, because you can't vote in a primary, which is a whole nother issue for me. I think independents in Maryland should be able to vote in a primary. But that being said, other than that, I have no opinion on the subject. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today Delegate Kathy Afzali, who is from District 4, and she has been sharing much about her backstory, and it's been great to, get to know you better. I think, as we talk about politics, I'm always so reluctant. We were talking off air between the segments, gosh, I don't want to get negative. We don't want to get negative,
yes.
Right? We want to, because by the way, I learn from people who think differently than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that we be open to different schools of thought, different mentalities, and, somewhere in the middle is where most people live.
Mm-hmm.
And so to honor kind of the differences that we are and to come up with the best of us to solve some of these issues, I think is where we have to go as a community or as a nation to really, move forward. But I do want to, talk about if somebody wants to run for office,
mm-hmm.
what would be your two or three points you would make to them about getting involved in politics? My point would be, don't do it.
Well, yeah, that's the first thing out of my mouth. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Oh,
don't do this.
Oh, don't do it. No, so, but no, yeah. I say that in jest. Really, I think, again, people who run for office are willing to put themselves through that grind
mm-hmm.
In order to meet the people and know the people and know their wishes and represent them. So I have a huge respect, actually, for that process. But what would you say to somebody who's considering running? What would you offer them as advice?
Well, I think what's different about me than from when I got into the political fray is I'm really trying to be a mentor of people who are starting out. When I first got in, my goodness, you'd have thought I was, Pol Pot or something with, some kind of criminal background. I was not helped and not treated well. And even when I got to Annapolis, I got very little help from any local elected people. It was really from my other fellow Republicans. So I really made a vow to myself that if I were blessed enough to be in the position to lead in Frederick County, that I would hopefully be a mentor and help other people. And I believe I have done that. I really do help people when they come in. We've got two young men, actually, who are running for the District 4 seat, because, as you know, I've announced that I'm not running for delegate again. I'm running for county executive, as you know. And so I really have been doing everything I can to try to help them and mentor them and tell them what worked for me, what didn't work for me. And
there are people out there that if they had somebody who believed in them, who said, you can do it, and encouraged them and showed them the pathway to success, they might take a chance. So what? Be specific, though. What worked for you?
Well, I'll tell you what worked for me is I trusted my instincts. What doesn't work for people coming in is there are a whole slew of people who say they know all about running for office, but if you look at their track record, all of their candidates lose their race. So, you know, I learned it early on when I was in New York. If I want to be successful, who am I going to model myself after? Am I going to model myself after the people who complain that it wasn't fair or somehow they didn't make it because something – it was someone else's fault? Or am I going to model myself after the people who have made it and have made a success of it? So that's what I did early on. I started looking to people who had been successful. And so that's my first advice to people going in. When someone comes up to you and says, oh, I can help you with your campaign, say, really, what campaigns have you worked on and how did those candidates do? Did they win? Did they lose? If that candidate lost, I would find someone else to help mentor your campaign.
Yeah, that's great advice. Always play with somebody better than you.
Always look for the best in the room. And another thing I'll share is – you know, and this happens for women a lot in politics, and we like to pretend that there's no gender difference in politics, but there is. I mean, it is a harder, heavier lift. I always tell people it would have been so much easier for me in politics if I would have had a wife. Someone to take care of everything while I
Your husband wouldn't sign up for that.
Well, he wasn't signing up for the wife duty, although he is a very good Mr. Mon. Honey, if you're listening, you're doing a great job, babe. But yeah, I mean, it was hard. And, you know, I look back at it and, you know, I was kind of one of those women. I grew up in, you know, 60s, 70s, and, you know, we were the ones that were going to have it all, right? And when I first threw my hat in the ring, thinking I could do it all, I never really realized how hard it was going to be. And I didn't know how hard it was going to be on my family. So if I had it all to do over again, it probably would have behooved me to wait a few years until my kids were a little bit older. But, you know, you make the decisions you make with the knowledge you have at the moment. And at the time, I thought it was going to be part-time. We see how that worked out. It lasted to be part-time about the first 7 minutes. But all in all, I think that
well, it's not part-time, too, though, because you choose.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to love what you're doing that has you out there doing all these things and staying involved, right? That's part of the passion, I think.
I think the passion in me is that I want to help people. I want to serve people. So if somebody calls me at 9 o'clock at night and they're having a problem and I want to help them, if there's an event that I can go to and I can encourage someone, I want to be there. And
well, let me insert there because I think it's really important. I know for the people that I have the most respect for, they're accessible. They don't sit in some room and become all caught up in themselves and their leadership and their accomplishment. They're out there doing the do. And they're accessible. And I want to give a shout out to Chuck Jenkins. Sheriff Jenkins is accessible. It's part of why I think he's been so successful. And so I like to hear from you that you're accessible. I think it's important to your constituents and anyone who is hoping that your leadership in Annapolis, they could be living in St. Mary's County, hoping that your leadership in Annapolis is serving to forward what their interests are, you know, in whatever those issues are. So anyway, I think it's important to recognize that accessibility is important. We lose sight of that when we become leaders somehow.
Well, I think that I have done my best. I mean, one of the things that frustrated me before I ever ran for office was just getting information out of Annapolis. You know, this was before the state website is as good as it is, and it still has a long way to go, but it's way better than it was. It was very hard to know what was going on. And I promised people that if they voted for me, I would be somehow the messenger of what was happening. And people have subscribed to my newsletter. I have nearly 10,000 people on my legislative newsletter, and I send out news and information. And also, everybody has my cell phone number, 301-524-7417. I've only had to block two people in the 8 years I've been in the public eye. And, you know, people call me and they want to talk to me. So also, I think there's a sense of humility that you need to have in public office. I've seen all too often someone get elected and they get so dang full of themselves. It's like, really? Come off of that pedestal you're on there. And it's just
you start separating yourself from the people.
Exactly.
And that's not the point. It's actually be one of us.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people see through it fairly quickly. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, that my faith teaches me is that if you're not humble, you will be humbled fairly quickly, that your account will be reconciled. So it's very certain to stay humble and be kind. So I try to practice that.
I appreciate that you're stepping into this role of mentoring others. I think that there are people out there that if they had somebody who believed in them, who said, you can do it, and encouraged them and showed them the pathway to success, they might take a chance. And I know I've been that person where I just wanted somebody to say, oh, I believe in you. I see what you can do. Come on, let's go for it. And by the way, I want people to know this. When you're running for office, do you know the statistics are, I think you have to run on average 3 times before you actually get elected. So the lesson here is you don't give up. You get back on the horse, mm-hmm. right? And if you have something compelling you to serve in public office, you should pursue it. And you should call Kathy and ask her how. Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens with Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Delegate Kathy Afzali. Thank you so much for being here. I want to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today Delegate Kathy Afzali, and we've been having a wonderful conversation about leadership, and one of the things that's near and dear to my heart, which is mentoring, and some people may know this. I helped to create and start up the woman-to-woman mentoring program that's now at FCC. So I believe in mentoring. I think it is a critical component to success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of us have had mentors that are maybe less formalized, just might be somebody we looked up to and we, as you said earlier, modeled ourselves after. But you were mentioning there was somebody you've had an opportunity to mentor in Annapolis. Would you share that story?
So it's kind of an interesting dynamic in Annapolis. It is kind of a boys' club, but there are those of us women who are there and we're fighting the fight. And I will share that we have a different way of working. You know, the men get up and pontificate a lot. The women just get the job done. So that's kind of the difference between the men and women. But I did have two young women who were actually Democrats, and they were the aides to Democrat leaders in Annapolis. And they came up to me and they said, Delegate Afzali, we really like you and we would love you to mentor us. And I kind of looked at them. I was like, really? Are you kidding me? And they said, yeah. And they were very complimentary. And they said, you know, you're the one person who has been so kind to us. And I think that, you know, a person's character is really reflected in how they treat their staff, how they treat the staff of others. How they treat the person who's waiting the table or bussing the dishes. And so
I have to say this. I always say they're no different than us.
Well, they're
why is it we get wrapped up in hierarchy and titles?
They're just starting somewhere. Well,
right.
Well, that shows the character of the person of when they start getting onto some kind of power trip of some sort. So anyway, so these two women, I came alongside them and have become good friends. And then I started mentoring some women at my church who we have a young women's Bible study, and they're young professional women here in Frederick County that are just finding their ways, you know, in their 20s. And, you know, those 20s can be a real hard time in your life because,
absolutely.
You know, sometimes you're not married yet, you're single, and you know, sometimes you want to be married and have a family, but you haven't met the right person, and your career is just starting, and, you know, you have all those questions about your career. And so I've been loving it. And I think part of the challenge and what these young women have shared with me is that a lot of women feel threatened by younger women. And that's unfortunate. It's hard for me to feel threatened. I mean, I serve at the pleasure of the people. So, you know, if I end up not serving at the pleasure of the people, I hope to find somewhere else to serve, whether that's in the private sector or somewhere else. But anyway, so I've been very blessed to have these young women in my life. And I've learned as much from them as they've learned from me.
Well, and what I love about your story is that they didn't come from your philosophical point of view necessarily. They're just young gals who want to grow up in their leadership, mm-hmm. and they saw in you somebody who could see in them that potential and was willing to hold their hand through it. And I think if there's one thing I want to bring to this show, and I'm so committed to this, is that we put aside the rancor. We put aside the nasty rhetoric. And we come together as human beings mm-hmm. who have same interests. I don't care if you live in the inner city in Baltimore or Southern Maryland or here in Frederick County. We all want our children to grow up and have a great life. We want to be able to put the food on the table and keep the lights on. You know, we want to have a good education, some of us. Some of us, an education, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean go to a college. It could be develop your skills and become masters as an electrician or some vocation. So I think we have to, as people, embrace others and really be willing to rise them up and not judge people based on whether they fit some, back to what we were saying earlier, ideology mm-hmm. we have.
Right, right.
You know, and boy, if we could come together as a people here and abroad across this country and stop the horrific violence. It's really disheartening to me. It breaks my heart. It really does, to see the things happening in St. Louis and the things happening in Baltimore or whatnot. Because at the end of the day, we all want the same stuff.
Yeah, it's very discouraging when people choose violence. It's very disheartening. And, you know, I can't fix all the problems of the world, but I can focus on what's around me and trying to make, you know, where my place is a better place. And I think what is really refreshing once you do get to Annapolis, you know, I know when I first got elected, you know, people were like, oh, what's she going to be like? She's, you know, this or that. And people would meet me and say, gosh, you're not at all what I expected you to be like. Because there's always this perception of, you know, somebody's so mean, somebody's so this or so extreme. I think that's it. A lot of people like to paint others in a corner. A lot of people like to put others in boxes. And so I kind of pride myself in kind of letting people go and just kind of letting it be and trying not to be the judge and jury of everybody. You know, we're all broken human beings. We all have good and bad in us. And hopefully I try to see mostly what's good.
Well, and I think it's also important. I say this over and over, and I think it's important to be reminded that leaders make mistakes. Mm. The question is, did you learn from it? Did you implement something next time differently because you learned that lesson? And that's how we transform as leaders. That's how we grow and evolve. And that's how we, you know, are better able to impact, as you say, our little world, mm-hmm. right? Right? In the best way we can. So, you know, again, I think it's an opportunity for us as leaders to bring forth a level of integrity, and I keep saying this as well, we have to, and I noticed on your bio, you know, your relationship, you have a commitment to ethics and maintaining ethics. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we can talk a little bit about that as we wrap up the show, because, you know, in leadership, that passion, that commitment, that authenticity is so important, and integrity really matters. Mm-hmm. So how would you share about your work with the ethics, you know, rulings and those sorts of things? How does that impact you as a leader in Annapolis?
Well, I think if you haven't picked up a paper in the last year, you may not have noticed that there's been a few arrests in Annapolis with different legislators being indicted by the FBI for different ethical infringement. And some of it was pretty serious stuff.
It's shocking.
I mean, it's very unnerving. And I'm happy to say there's been none of that in Frederick County that I've seen. I mean, gosh, if you know, if I could make that much money from politics, you know, I haven't figured out how to do it. But at any rate, but yeah, we will have an ethics bill that the delegation will be bringing forward. I am the delegation chair still until November. Mm-hmm. And then in November, I will be passing the delegation chair torch as well, which I think is an important piece also is to not hang on to leadership, which, you know, everybody seems to do. I have to hang on until I'm 99 years old because I can't let go. No, we've got a really strong bench in Frederick County of Republican leaders, and we want them to step up and take the reins. So I will be standing down. And, yeah, we're going to have an ethics bill. Senator Huff is spearheading it, and he's working with the League of Women's Voters. And there's been a call for better ethics on the county level. And I think we have a good bill that everybody should get on board with.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about that as that comes into fruition. And I'd like to really also invite people. Do you have any events coming up that people could attend, opportunities to maybe share their views or town halls of any sort?
Well, so the main way to get to know me right now is through my website, KathyHafsali.com, and you can also sign up for my email list. I'll be at the fair, but this is airing on Saturday. Yes, today's Saturday, so the fair is winding down. But if you want to come see me today or tomorrow, that's awesome. And other than that, the best way to reach me is through email. And again, very accessible. Nobody, if you say you can't reach me, you're not trying. So I'm fairly accessible.
So let's leave people with your leadership mantra. What is it that you, I guess, live by as a philosophy?
Well, I don't know if I have a philosophy of leadership other than I do want to empower others. I think that I am a natural-born leader that can empower others to step forward and lead as well. And I think that's probably my strongest characteristic is I think people think I'm a safe place. Most people, not people in the inner circle of politics, certainly, who for some reason, gossip and, you know, pettiness seems to be the mainstay in Frederick County. But the rest of the people see me as a safe place to go to talk about issues, to really understand where they are in life. And I think that's a very important quality of leadership is to be able to listen to people. And I think I do have that quality.
So, again, you know, in this idea of leadership, there's an opportunity to embrace other ideas, encourage others, learn from one another. And I think that you're modeling that. And I think as we go forward, I wish you well in your leadership and the contribution that you make locally or at the state level. And thanks for the work that you've done on behalf of families and children and youth. That's an important issue that we need to attend to. I want to let people know, if you'd like to listen to this show, you can go to our podcast in the audio vault. Look under Success Happens, and we have all our previous shows there. So be willing to share it. If you want to share the URL link, you're welcome to do that. You can go to my Facebook page, Success Happens with Jen Charlton Radio Show. And we'll look forward to seeing you later today at the fair or sometime soon. You've been listening to Success Happens with Jen Charlton. I'd like to thank Delegate Kathy Afzali for being here. It's been wonderful to have this conversation. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now. Please go enjoy the great Frederick Fair. It's wrapping up. And thanks, Bob, for being my engineer. Everyone, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Success Happens.